Hey there. Ready to really warp your perception of time? Today we're going deep into some seriously mind-bending territory. Complex time. We're not just talking hours on the clock. We're going to be talking about something called time. It's this wild concept that adds a whole new dimension to time. And get this, it links time to repeated experiments. I'm fascinated already, and we haven't even gotten to the good stuff. So you sent in a whole bunch of excerpts, academic papers, texts, all focusing on data science, time complexity, and hold-on space-time.
Sounds like you're interested in how we repeat experiments, that whole sampling thing in science, and how that fits into how we normally think about time. It seems you're digging into how this new way of looking at time can help us understand data science and all the uncertainty that comes with it.
Exactly. I've been really feeling that the way we normally think about time is just, I don't know, too simple. Like there's got to be more to it, you know? And these sources mention Keim and Kevents, which are basically like complex versions of time and events. It sounds like science fiction, but it's actually based on real math and physics. So let's start with the basics. What exactly is Keim, and how does it relate to our everyday, checking the clock kind of time?
Think of it like this. Imagine time as a line with events happening along that line. That's how we normally see it, right? But with Keim, we're adding another dimension. So now imagine time as a spiral instead of a line. Each loop on the spiral represents the same moment in time, but seen from a slightly different perspective, like repeating an experiment, but getting slightly different results each time.
Okay, so instead of a straight line, time is more like a spiral that keeps unwinding, and each loop is like repeating a measurement of a system. And are those loops what these sources are calling Kvint?
You got it. And here's where things get really interesting. These sources talk about something called the Keim phase problem. Basically, they say that when we analyze data, especially in things like neuroscience with all that fMRI data, we usually ignore the Keim phase. We just focus on the Keim magnitude, basically the straight line of time, ignoring those loops on the spiral.
The Keim phase problem. So we're missing something important then, right? Like, what happens when we ignore the Keim phase? What's the problem?
The problem is that we oversimplify things and miss important information. It's like trying to understand a symphony, but only listening to one instrument. The sources say that if we could recover the Keim phase information, we could analyze data much better and get more accurate results.
So you're saying that by using Keim, by considering it, we can understand really complex systems much better, like even the human brain. And how does space-time fit into all of this? What is it?
Yes, that's one of the most exciting parts. And as for space-time, well, it's basically the space-time we're familiar with, but with Keim added in. So instead of four dimensions, three for space and one for time, space-time has five dimensions, Keim adds two, the magnitude and the phase.
Hold on, five dimensions. I'm trying to wrap my head around this.
Okay.
So we've got this whole new way of looking at time with Keim, and then we add it to space-time, and we end up with space-time.
Right. And the sources actually describe how Einstein's equations, the ones that explain gravity and the universe, can be extended to work in this five-dimensional space-time. They even talk about a fifth force that shows up in space-time. It's parallel to the four velocity of a particle. It's wild.
Okay, my mind is officially blown. So basically, we change how we think about time and potentially change how we understand the whole universe.
Absolutely. It opens a world of possibilities. For example, the sources even talk about energy and momentum in space-time. They suggest particles could have energy components for both Keim dimensions. And they even suggest extending conservation of energy and conservation of momentum to space-time, too. Seriously, mind-blowing stuff.
Okay, I need a minute to process all of this. It's amazing to think that time, something so basic, could be so much more complex than we usually imagine.
And you've only scratched the surface. Keim and space-time have huge implications for quantum mechanics, information theory, even philosophy.
This deep dive has definitely left me wanting more. For our listeners, I think a good place to start would be exploring the uncertainty principle from quantum mechanics, but thinking about it in this space-time framework. Like, how would uncertainty relate to both the Keim magnitude and the Keim phase? It's a question I don't have the answer to, not yet anyway, but I'm going to be thinking about it. Thanks for joining us on this incredible journey, and until next time, keep questioning, keep exploring, and keep diving deep.
And thanks for having me. This is fascinating stuff.
So we've covered a lot of ground, from the basic concept of Keim to its mind-blowing implications for how we understand the universe. But to really grasp the power of Keim, we need to dig a little deeper into the math behind it, specifically the world of complex numbers. I know math can be intimidating, but trust me, it's worth it. Because once you understand how complex numbers work, you'll see how they unlock the secrets of this hidden dimension of time. So buckle up, because we're about to go on a mathematical adventure.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay, so I think I'm kind of getting the idea of time as this spiral of time, with each loop giving a slightly different perspective. But to really, like, understand how it works, we need to look at the math. You mentioned complex numbers. How do those, how they fit in?
That's a great question. Complex numbers are the key to understanding how time works mathematically. A complex number has two parts, a real part and an imaginary part.
Vaguely remember those from way back in math class. Something about the square root of negative one, right?
You got it. The imaginary unit, I, is the square root of minus one. It sounds strange, but that imaginary part is crucial for representing rotations and oscillations, which, you know, are fundamental to time.
Okay, but, like, how does that apply to time? Isn't time just a real number? Like, how many seconds have passed?
That's where time changes how we see time. Remember how we visualize time as a spiral? That spiral represents the phase of time, which is captured by the imaginary part of a complex number. Think of it this way. The real part tells you where you are on the timeline, your usual T for time. And the imaginary part tells you where you are on the loop of the spiral. That's the time phase information.
So it's not that the imaginary part is, like, made up. It's about capturing that circular repeating part of time.
Exactly. Complex numbers allow us to combine those two aspects of time, that linear progression and the cyclical phase, all in one mathematical entity.
Pretty elegant, huh? So how do we actually use complex numbers to, you know, show time mathematically?
The sources you gave use a very neat formula, TEI. T is our regular time, the real part. P is the time phase, and E is Euler's number, a special mathematical constant.
Whoa, lots of symbols. Can you break that down for those of us who aren't math whizzes?
Of course. Think of E as a way to code rotation. As the time phase changes, this part of the formula traces out a circle in the complex plane. It's like the hand of a clock moving around. It captures that cyclical aspect of time.
So we're basically putting a tiny spinning clock hand onto every point in time.
A great way to visualize it. And by multiplying that rotating part by our regular time, P, we stretch or compress the spiral depending on how fast time is moving.
Okay, I think I'm seeing how the math works now, but why go through all this? What's the advantage of showing time with complex numbers?
Using complex numbers gives us a whole bunch of mathematical tools that are perfect for working with rotations, oscillations, and waves, all crucial for understanding time and what it means.
Can you give us an example of one of those tools and how it might be used with time?
Sure. One tool that ends up a lot in the sources is the Fourier transform. It's a math technique that lets us break down a complex signal into its individual frequencies, like separating a symphony into its instruments.
I kind of remember that from music stuff, but how does it apply to time?
Imagine you have a data set that changes over time, like brain activity measured by fMRI. If you use a Fourier transform on that data, you can analyze how the different frequencies, which now include time phase information, make up the whole signal.
So we're not just seeing the overall brain activity, but we're also seeing which notes or frequencies are playing at each moment and how those notes relate to the time phase.
Got it. This could reveal hidden patterns and connections we wouldn't be able to see otherwise.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So using complex numbers and things like the Fourier transform helps us to really, like, dig into time and find information that was hidden.
Exactly. It's like we have a much more powerful microscope to explore how time works and its effect on the world around us.
This is seriously fascinating. But I wonder, if time is so important, why haven't we been using it this whole time? Why are we just exploring it now?
That's a really good question, and it shows how science is a process of building on what we already know. The mathematical tools for working with complex numbers and time have been around for a while, but only recently have we started to develop the ideas and computing power to actually apply them to complex systems like, you know, the brain and the universe.
So it's like we had the puzzle pieces, but didn't know how to put them together until now.
Precisely. And as we keep exploring and experimenting with time, we'll find even more surprising and profound connections we haven't even thought of yet.
Well, you've definitely given me a lot to think about. But before my brain melts from all this math, let's shift gears a bit. Let's see how time is actually being used in research, like in data analysis and fMRI studies.
Sounds good to me. Let's look at some real-world applications of time and see how it's already changing how we understand complex systems.
Okay, we've, like, explored the theory behind time and even dipped our toes into the math, but I'm really curious to see how it's actually being used. These sources mention some cool applications, especially in data analysis and fMRI research. Can you give us some real-world examples?
Absolutely. One area where QIIME is really making a splash is in the analysis of fMRI data. Remember how we talked about brain activity being represented as points on a QIIME spiral? Well, researchers are using that concept to create something called QIIME surfaces.
QIIME surfaces. That sounds pretty interesting. What are they exactly?
Imagine a topographical map, but instead of showing mountains and valleys, it shows peaks and troughs of brain activity. And all of that is spread out across the QIIME dimensions, both magnitude and phase.
So it's like a 3D map of brain activity. But instead of just spatial dimensions, we're incorporating the QIIME phase too.
Exactly. And that lets researchers see patterns and connections in brain activity that would be totally missed using traditional methods. The old methods only consider the magnitude of the signal, and that's not the whole picture.
Wow, that's amazing. What kind of, like, insights are we gaining from these QIIME surfaces? What can they tell us?
Well, for one thing, researchers are using QIIME surfaces to study how different parts of the brain talk to each other. By analyzing the QIIME phase relationships between different areas, they can see how information flows through the brain in real time.
So we're not just seeing which parts of the brain light up. We're actually understanding the timing and coordination between them, all thanks to the QIIME phase.
You got it. It's like going from a silent film to a symphony orchestra. You're getting so much more information.
This is like seriously groundbreaking.
Yeah.
But it's not just neuroscience, right? These sources mentioned applications in other fields too.
You're right. QIIME is being used to analyze time series data in all sorts of fields, like finance, weather forecasting, and even climate modeling.
Wow. Okay. Can you give us an example of how QIIME is being used in one of those fields, like maybe weather forecasting?
Sure. Traditional weather models rely on historical data and equations to predict future weather patterns. But with QIIME, we can potentially take into account the variations and uncertainties that are always present in complex systems, like the atmosphere.
So instead of just looking at average temperatures and wind speeds, we can analyze the QIIME phase variations. And that could give us a more accurate picture of how weather patterns actually change over time.
Right. And that could lead to weather forecasts that are more accurate and reliable. That could have a huge impact on agriculture, disaster preparedness, all sorts of things.
It seems like QIIME is opening up a whole new world of possibilities. But like any new tool, I imagine there are challenges, right?
Of course. One of the biggest challenges with QIIME is that we can't directly measure the QIIME phase. We can infer it from data, but it's still indirect, and that introduces some uncertainty.
So it's like we know there's this hidden dimension, but we can't actually see it directly.
Yeah, kind of like that. And this QIIME phase problem, as it's called, is a really active area of research. Scientists are developing new techniques and algorithms to better estimate and analyze the QIIME phase all the time.
Sounds like there's still a lot to learn.
Mm.
But the potential benefits are just massive.
Totally. QIIME is a pretty new concept, but it's already making a big impact. I'm really excited to see where this all goes and what kind of new insights we'll uncover as we explore this hidden dimension of time.
This deep dive has been amazing. We've gone from, you know, the basic idea of time all the way to QIIME and its mind-blowing implications for physics, data analysis, and even how we understand the universe.
It's been a pleasure to explore all of this with you. For our listeners, I really hope this deep dive has sparked some curiosity about the world.
I think you've definitely achieved that.
Oh.
I'm personally feeling inspired to learn more about QIIME and how it might apply to my own field, too.
That's the beauty of exploring new ideas. It opens up so many possibilities.
Speaking of seeing things in new ways, this deep dive has left me with this, like, lingering question. What if we could actually perceive the QIIME phase? If we could experience time in all its multidimensional glory, how would that change how we understand reality? How would it affect our consciousness, our place in the universe?
Wow, that is a profound question. I think that's something we each have to contemplate on our own journey of discovery. Maybe QIIME isn't just a mathematical thing. Maybe it's a key to unlocking deeper levels of awareness, helping us understand the nature of existence itself.
Whoa, that's a pretty mind-blowing thought to end on. Thanks for joining us on this incredible exploration of QIIME. And until next time, keep questioning, keep exploring, and keep diving deep.